So a couple of months ago, we were talking, John and me and Teresa, and we were talking about Teresa getting a little bit more involved, and she said, well, I'd love to read. And so you'll note she's been doing a little bit more Bible reading. But today, the little one's got, Amy, I think, has got chicken pox. And Teresa was down to read. And so I said, well, to John, we were talking this morning. I said, well, it's all right. We'll make a plan. So John says, well, what about me? I'm a good reader, Pastor. So John, if you're here, I don't know if you're around. Is John around? There you are. There you are, brother. You come and read. Come on. And God bless you. Thank you. Let's welcome John. First time he's reading. Coming up. Thank you.
Morning. We are reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, the 16th verse to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. If you are there, say amen. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority had been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and do, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Thank you. Precious word. We've welcomed already Ben before. It's a joy this morning, Ben, to invite you to come and lead us. And God, thank you. And we thank God for your heart for discipleship and outreach and church growth. God bless you. One more time, let's welcome Brother Ben. Thank you.
It's wonderful to be back. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, I stood here just for a few moments and shared with you that the gospel has as much power today as it did 2,000 years ago when Jesus died and rose again. But the vehicle of the gospel, what did I say about that? It's broken. It's in bad shape. It's not moving very fast. It's creeping along. And Judy and I have a real deep passion to help this to move, to get that vehicle repaired, to get those wheels rolling. One of the reasons that the gospel is not spreading today the way it really should has a lot to do with the way we interpret scripture. So I'm going to read this passage again from the Modern Christian Lifestyle version. I'm just going to start at verse 18. It says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, some authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations that seem deserving, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey some of the things that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you occasionally to the ends of the earth. And yes, I made that up. There is no such translation, but in reality, we really kind of live by this, don't we? We need to unravel and unpack what some of these errors are that we sort of inadvertently live by. So what I want to do is just point us out to a few things in this passage now. And one of the things that is really, really powerful for us here is just the way Jesus addresses the doubt that we saw in verse 16, 17. And I find it fascinating that it says some worshiped him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful. And I know that all of us feel those doubts sometimes. I don't know exactly what that doubt is. I don't think they doubted the authenticity of Christ. But what I really am wondering, did they just doubt whether they could do what Jesus has sent them to do? You know, you need to work that out. But the thing that fascinates me is the way that Jesus addressed their doubt. He did not scold them. In verse 17, he simply reestablished his identity. Now, everything rises and falls on the way we view Jesus. And if we look at the Word of God and we get to know and study Jesus and know who he is, believe me, our understanding of him will begin to change. And how we view Christ will really greatly influence how we respond to Christ. And so if we're having trouble keeping the gospel moving, then it maybe has a lot to do with our understanding of Jesus, because we may truly be saying, well, some authority has been given to him. The rest is for me, brother, because I want to be in charge of my life. This is what we hear in the streets. We hear this from people who are not believers. We hear this from people who are believers sometimes. I don't want to release full authority to him. But we need to learn how to do this. Jesus says, how much? What's that word? All, say it with me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And it's really wonderful. Now listen, if you take a look at how the fishermen responded, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And they dropped their nets, left their father and the hired men, and they followed him. Now that is a response that has no hesitation, no delay, hardly time for any cost counting. They just said, this is the man we need to follow. There is a change in loyalty when you meet Christ and truly devote yourself to him and his authority. The tax collector, what was his name? Matthew? Yeah, okay, you're thinking of Zacchaeus. Both of those, that's right, both of these. But I'm thinking of Matthew. He just left. When Jesus said, follow me, he left and followed. But Zacchaeus also came down from the tree. Jesus says, I'm going to your house. I love how he invites himself over to people's homes. You know, how beautiful that is. So there was a change in loyalty. There's a response to that authority. How about Saul? Saul was as devoted of a Pharisee as anyone. And what did he do? It took a little bit more to pry Saul out of that. But when it happened, Saul was dedicated, completely sold out to Jesus. Completely responded to Jesus' authority. Other people, you know, they leave their family, they leave their friends, they leave their homes, they leave very well-paying jobs. Judy and I met a guy many years ago. He worked for NASA as a physician, and he left a six-figure salary in order to become a missionary in Uganda. And we just looked at him and thought, wow. Is he a fool or is he completely in love with Jesus? Maybe a little both, I don't know. But he was an amazing man. But I thought, who would leave behind such a fantastic and reputable sort of a position? And so we see others, of course, they leave their sinful lives behind. They leave things behind. It's because Jesus makes a difference. They see something in him and they submit 100% to his authority. There is no halfway with Jesus. You are either in or out. You are either for him or against him. And we need to count that cost. We need to do that. So Jesus says, follow me, trust me. Are we willing to do that without hesitation? And honestly, folks, if we are not there 100%, it will greatly affect whether or not we are really helping the Great Commission to happen for the gospel to spread. Let's move on a little bit here, because Jesus says all authority has been given to me, and if he says all authority, it should get our attention. Anyone here ever been in the military? Any military people, okay? When your CO used to say, how did he say it? Pounding! Did he say it? Right. Well, look at that. He's responding well. And if he gave you a command, would you say, let me look at my diary, brother. Hold on, my wife wants me to come home and do such and such. No, you just do it, don't you? You don't even question it. So Jesus is saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so now we look at verse 19, and he's giving a command. And what is that command? He says, therefore, go. Therefore, go. But he doesn't say go to some nations. Go to people that we prefer, people that we like. Avoid those that just aren't nice people. I'm pretty sure most of us can think of someone or a people group or a type of people that kind of irritate us a little bit, okay? I'm not going to ask you to be transparent enough to say that publicly, but it's true. But let's look at the scope of God's desire to reach people. 2 Peter 3:9, who knows it? For God is not slow, as we count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to come to perish, but for all to what? Come to repentance. For how many? For all to come to repentance. He wants everybody. He didn't say all white people. He didn't say all blue-eyed people. He didn't say all people who have an education. He didn't say all people from the Eastern Hemisphere. He said all people, all peoples, all nations. He means it when he says it. So Jesus is now telling them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all nations. So that means we don't get the opportunity to choose or to be picky about who we share with or who we disciple. Okay, this is just a key thing here. Now listen, I'm going to share a dark part of American history for you. 1945, Japan fell. They finally surrendered. An act of surrender was signed on the USS Missouri, and after that time, we hear someone by the name of General Douglas MacArthur saying, send missionaries to Japan. This country is devastated. They are open. They are receptive. Send missionaries. And for 7 years, there was an unprecedented openness and receptivity in Japan. And American missionaries did not respond very well. Why not? We hated the Japanese. We hated what they did in Pearl Harbor. We despised their attitude. We couldn't stand that sense of sovereignty that they held. And so we avoided. But the window of opportunity closed, 1952, almost slamming like a window, and has since then never opened. And today, Japan is vastly far from God. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot choose on the basis of our preference against what Jesus has commanded us to do. And here in London, we live in probably the most multicultural city in the world. We have a vast opportunity to touch the nations. We have a tremendous opportunity. In fact, it's such a great opportunity. I've brought a very, very special and dear friend of mine today named Gemma, who is going to come here and share her part in carrying the gospel. Believe me, the wheels of the gospel are well oiled in this young lady. Okay, Gemma.
Good morning, church. It's an honor to be here. Thank God. So, going out, what he said is so true. It's all down to viewing who Jesus is. If you see Jesus as just Jesus, you wouldn't do what he's telling you to do. And when God brought Ben and Judy into my life, and they brought this scripture to me. I've been going to church. I'm like, yeah, just church. And when they brought this scripture to me, the day it ran, I'm like, it's a command to go out. And I'm from Sierra Leone. So I went back. I normally go for holiday in my hometown. So when I went to Sierra Leone and having this order, you know, in my heart, it's a command from Jesus. I had some few friends, and they too, they were doing this Sunday to Sunday thing. And I'm like, listen, Jesus said we should go out, make disciples of all nations, having fellowships in small groups. And we started sitting down, opening the Bible, reading it together, not just on a Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, when, you know, different days. And from the ages 20 to 26, 27, so we started growing, we started getting involved. And for me, this is how I grew, because I just didn't depend only on Sundays. I started having Monday fellowship, you know, Tuesday or something, and this helped me and helped the others to grow. And they themselves went out to share the gospel, you know, instead of just sitting down, they went to share, and the more they shared, the more they got understanding. So this was fire, you know, doing what God says to do. He is really with us. So Praise God.
Okay, just wait right here. Gemma, just briefly, what has been the result of that sharing and many people coming to Christ? What's in Sierra Leone now because of your influence? Because of God's Jesus influence.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we started off being a seven. We started off seven, and then we grew to 12. And then they all started, it got to a point everyone just loved to be together. But then Ben, you know, he was like, we have to spread. Like, this just can't just be with us. So we started spreading that. Two, three, four people started having their own disciple groups, like their own small fellowship group. That one having their own, I can just see the trees, you know. They started having their own branches. So even though I'm not there, they're still having their own small fellowship, which is good, you know. And praise God.
Praise the Lord. And people continue to be reached. You know, this is just one example. Sierra Leone is one of many nations represented here in the city of London. Now imagine if all the nationalities in this room right now, I don't know how many there are, probably 25 at least, just sitting in these seats today. Imagine if just one influence back to your homeland, back to your heritage, back to the land from which you came, could bring some people to Christ who would take responsibility for the gospel and spread it back home. Imagine the incredible impact on the world, okay? This is your vision casting for the day. Thank you very much, Gemma. I really appreciate you sharing. So Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not nations that we choose, not peoples that we don't like. And listen, it's tempting for us to make choices and say, well, you know, I don't want to share the gospel with that person. I don't like all those tattoos, or I don't like the look on his face, or I don't like how that lady is sort of dressed today. You know what? They're often the most receptive people. And I've made the mistake too many times, and I've decided, Lord, if I'm saying no, it probably means you're saying yes. And so we need to look at this and really listen to what is Jesus doing here. He is not putting limits. He's actually taking away the limits so that we can reach all people. If we read on a little bit, it says, therefore, you know, of course, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them, right? What does it say now? Teaching them to obey what? To everything that Jesus commanded. Now listen, this is one I think gets avoided a lot, because we tend to be very selective about what we disciple, what we teach people. We tend to disciple people or teach them or give them what they want, what they need in the moment, what they prefer, what they're gifted in, what we have time to do, what we think is appropriate. But honestly, Jesus does not give us the option of being selective. He says, teach them to obey all things. Now, folks, that doesn't mean everybody's good at everything. In fact, there are many things you'll find people that are being young disciples who are growing up in the faith. They won't be good at some things. They'll be great at other things. But we still teach them everything. I used to be, I ran with an ambulance squad back in the early 1990s. In 1991, I took about 4-month night school to learn how to be and what I thought was just an ambulance driver. Well, guess what they taught me? They taught me everything. They taught me how to run the radio. They taught me how to restock the shelves. They taught me how to repair things. They taught me how to when to turn on the sirens. They taught me how to lock up the place. They taught me how to log in to the hospital. They taught me how to get along with other workers and all kinds of things. And I thought, I didn't come here to learn all these things. But believe me, there were times when I had to know every single one of those. In fact, one night, I remember, we used to call it the honker. It used to go, burp, and it meant a truck had to go out. We had two honkers go out in a row, so all of our personnel were gone except me. Guess what? It went off a third time. I was alone. I had to know how to do everything. I had to know how to get on that radio, tell everybody what's going on, get the truck ready, pull the truck out, lock the door, and go and take care of all that by myself. It wasn't fun, it wasn't easy, but my training kicked in. I was ready. Folks, as a disciple maker, as a follower of Jesus, as a part of the body of Christ, you need to be ready, because you don't know what God is going to give you to do. And we live in urgent times. We live in urgent times. We need to be prepared, and we cannot afford to be selective. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's just fish way back to something that Moses said many, many, many years ago. He said, this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded to me to teach you, that you may do them in the land which the Lord has given you to possess, and that you may fear the Lord God and your sons' sons by keeping all his statutes and his commands by which I command you. Keeping them all. He does not give the option to Israel to choose and only obey the things they would like to obey. Now, what I love is what he says in the next verse. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them that it may go well with you and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Multiplying the nation of Israel is dependent on their obedience. Otherwise, they would just be a little tribe off in the corner somewhere. Today, that's happening. And if we don't obey, we will be a little tribe off in the corner. Christianity was not meant to be a little hidden tribe. We have the words of life. We have news that transforms people and families and has amazing ability to transcend all the stuff that's going on in this world to bring people into light and life. We cannot afford not to obey all things. So let's be very, very careful. And the number one culprit, as I said earlier, I talked about gifts and gifting. We've got to be really careful because we tend to say, I'll do this such and such because I'm gifted. Okay, I'll be the prayer person because I'm gifted with prayer. While Pastor Ray, you go out and you share in the streets because you're gifted as an evangelist. Now that sounds like a good partnership, doesn't it? That's a good partnership. But what I'm kind of inadvertently saying is, I don't have to share the gospel because I'm gifted in prayer. But I'm also inadvertently saying, Pastor Ray, you don't have to pray because you're only gifted in sharing. Now that sounds absurd, doesn't it? And you wouldn't let people get away with saying, oh, you can't pray. You don't have to pray because you're not gifted in prayer. It's not the way. Jesus teaches them to obey all things. We're not good at everything. Come to my house. Walk in 12 Chestnut Avenue and walk in, and I might just say, you know, I'm not gifted in hospitality. Go get your own coffee. We don't do that, do we? Of course we're nice to people. Of course we're going to make them a coffee or a tea. It might be the lousiest cup of coffee you've ever had, but at least I offered it because, you see, that's how God trains us and raises us up. And I watched this happen in Gemma. When we started equipping her, Judy's poured lots of time into her, and we watched her develop and grow because she obeyed. She stepped out and she did it. She didn't think she could. I remember the first day in the streets. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this. And that was only 3 years ago. And look at where God has brought her. So we need to remember that we have a task, and we've got to stop making excuses. Excuses, excuses. I'm not gifted. I'm not able. I'm too tired. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too feeble. Something. Wait, God is not listening to your excuses, folks. What he expects you to do is just say, Lord, here am I. Send me for what I'm worth. I might be a broken stick, but you can even use a broken stick like me. I've prayed that prayer so many times, and God just keeps answering. So let's stop making excuses. Let's be sure that we're not shortcutting what God has given us as we disciple those that are being raised up in this next generation. Now, this last one, yes, I'm taking a little bit of a stretch. It's the same Greek word as all authority. Jesus says all nations. He says teach them to obey all things. That's the same Greek word. We're using a slightly different word here, but it's got the same effect because he says, I am with you occasionally. Of course, always. Now, you know, we love to read always with you and just think, oh, Jesus, we know, of course, you're not going to leave me because I'm so special now that you've received me into your kingdom. But the context of this is that it's really a reward of our obedience. The context is not that you are deserving of his ongoing presence. So what I'm trying to say is, obviously, he's with you. You invite him into your heart, he is there. But honestly, who does Jesus really pay attention to? The one who is obeying and doing what he commands, or the one who's just sort of slacking and just trying to take the shortcuts? obviously he's going to give attention to the ones who are diligent and obedient and passionate about what he is doing. And so Jesus promises that he is with us, and he is with us always. And this is really, really important, but it's not for the reason you think. It's not because Jesus thinks you need a steady stream of cuddles. But I really think that Jesus, being the author of this great plan that we call the Great Commission, is extremely interested in how it gets carried out and whether it gets done. Just as we who are fathers raise up our sons and watch them step out into a task that we have sent them to do, and we watch really carefully, not just so that we can help them when they stumble or fall, but to see, do they complete the job, and do they do it in such a way that makes Father happy? This is what Jesus is doing. His heart, his desire, his deep passion is to see the world come to Christ, to come to himself. He is waiting and watching with every one of us to see how that's happening. He is amazingly persistent in wanting this to happen. When we are actually on the move, we sense his presence in an amazing way. I always have seen this in my own life, and I've watched this in the lives of people that we've trained, that the more they move, the more they move in faith, the more they step out, the more they sense the very presence of God. And Gemma actually stood here and said that moments ago, didn't she? She sensed that God was growing her and building her and developing her as she stepped out. You don't wait for it all to happen. You just get moving and watch it happen. But many times, we also have to read this passage and remember, Jesus does not want you to be fearful. And you're going to be in situations where you're terrified, okay? Now, let's go back to the Old Testament again. Judy's favorite verse, her life verse, is the verse in Joshua 1:9. It says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We know that verse, don't we? And you can be strong. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get strong here in this congregation, in these seats, in these pews, with the Bible in front of you. You can get strong. But you cannot prove to me that you're courageous until you get out and do something with it. Be strong and courageous. So get strong, but you won't know how courageous you are until you're in front of Goliath, or in front of the opposition, or in front of somebody that's ready to need to hear the gospel. God does not want us just to be a bunch of strong Christians. He wants strong and courageous men and women to carry his word. And so his ongoing and enduring presence, very, very important. And he does not take naps. He does not take holidays. He does not have leave of absence or a sabbatical. He is constantly with us, and he holds to that promise. It is very, very important that you remember that he is with you wherever you go, and you will really sense his presence when you're obeying and stepping out in faith. Now, I want to read a list of names to you. These are some people that we read of in the Bible, but they're kind of odd names. You know a lot of names, but see if you recognize any of these. Shamua. Sounds like a whale, doesn't it? Shaphat, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether. Does anybody recognize these names yet? Nabi, Guel, Caleb, Joshua. Okay, who did I just list, folks? Who did I just list? 12 spies. Why didn't you recognize them? Do you know they don't build monuments to fearful people? They don't build statues to honor cowards. That's why you don't remember those first 10 people. I can't even pronounce their names. But believe me, if they were faithful, we would hear them every time we think of faithful men and women. But these men, they said in Numbers 13, we are like grasshoppers to them. They're going to squash us. How many times have you felt that way? Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. He wants to empower you and strengthen you and give you what you need. Let his abiding presence drive you, my friends. Now turn to someone next to you, groups of two or three. I'm serious, okay? It doesn't matter if you mess these chairs up, we can do it. 2 minutes, 2 minutes and no more. Which of these things do you need the most prayer for? What do you need to step out and do? Is it his authority? Is it the fact that you're being selective? Is it that you need to help teach all things? Or do you just need to be reminded of his constant presence and fearless nature? Go ahead, share in groups of two or three. 2 minutes. Okay, let's bring our attention to the front. We need to conclude. If you're serious about moving forward, please come and speak to Pastor Ray, to myself, to Judy, Gemma. Get someone alongside of you so you can get moving. Don't try this on your own. Don't do this by yourself. But do pray, do seek. But find someone who can walk with you and journey with you through this. Let me conclude by reading the passage from a proper version of the scriptures. Starting at verse 18, and Jesus answered them and said, actually, I'll read it off of your prompter here because then it won't confuse you. Okay. So Jesus answered and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. All authority has been given to me and in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Lord, thank you for this time together. May your words have impact. May they dig deep into our hearts, but more importantly, find their way to our hands, our feet, and our tongue, and our eyes, and our ears, so that we can be your instruments of the gospel like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, what a precious challenge. Thank you, Ben, Brother Ben, today. Good to think through what we can do and how we can respond in ways that will take us to a new level. The Lord wants the church to multiply. He wants this not to be a lost tribe sort of hiding in an upper room somewhere. He wants us to be a Pentecostal tribe speaking with confidence on the streets, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of us do it in different ways, but we should still nevertheless do it, I think has been the call today. maybe through friendship or whatever. I love the idea the Lord doesn't take bank holidays. He does give us a Sabbath, and I think it's a bit like that, but we've got work to do. We have got work to do. Let's take it on. Go and pray and bring them in. Bring in the neighbors. Pray, preach, bring Christ to the people around you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We can do this. We can do this. Come, let's stand together as we close and we sing our final hymn today, as we sing our closing hymn.